We're back with Carolyn Jessup, I, Paula Gordon, Bill Russell. You have that look.
The word power, I didn't do a word search, but power shows up in this, in your accounting over and over and over again. And without, I think, being in the middle of it, and you make it credible, just the psychological intimidation. But you talk about these people in the public sense, not just in the personal relationships and within the community. You talk about them as being extraordinarily powerful. And I'd help us understand that power at the state level, at the community level, in the family level.
Well, when you look at the pictures and the men look kind of wimpy,
what is this power?
Well, the FLDS, in truth, is not based, the religion is not based around polygamy as much as it is around power. If you really get to the core of this religion and how it works.
Polygamy is a tool.
Power and control, and polygamy is a tool to control people, so is arranged marriages.
How does that work?
It works in the social structure in the community. There's a very definite social structure in the community that controls everything. It controls every day of life, who you work for, the amount of money you earn, to your position and prestige within the community. That's from a community scale. And a lot of times where you end up in that would depend on who your parents are and where their power position was. So it's very much inherited. Now, in a family, like Merrill's family, there was a definite hierarchy among the women.
That would be the family of which you were a part.
That was the family I was a part of. He had a favorite wife, and everybody fell into a position somewhere below her. But she was the ultimate authority in that family. Merrill did what she wanted. She had a lot of power. And she was very, very manipulative, very controlling, and very cruel. And to some extent, it's like the more corrupt you are in the society, the more you rise to the top. Mm. It's just the nature of the system. And so in our personal family, the power structure had a huge impact. It had an impact on whether I could get shoes for my children, the jobs I did in the house, what my kids were allowed to do, if they were allowed privileges, if they were sent to bed without supper, or how badly they could be abused by another family member. Where you landed in that power structure was everything. One of the commodities that you could use to raise up in that structure is by reporting on other people. If one of the wives would report to Barbara, who was the favorite wife who controlled the family, if they could report other offenses that she could use to get this person in trouble with Merrill, then they could move up the status, the ladder, and essentially indirectly get protection from her. It's very difficult to explain, and it has many, many dynamics.
Well, you explain it wonderfully in Escape, and yet it's just hard to accept.
Part of this goes to the notion of God.
Yes.
And I think most of us, I knew nothing about this, what to me is just, I'm not sure I'd characterize it as theology, but if you can, a short course on the underlying thinking, such as it is, that makes some of this possible.
Well, it gives them tax exemption as a religion.
Well, first of all, because it's characterized as a religion, it's left alone. The communities, the local communities around where we live did not really interfere with what we were doing. In the West, there is, to a large extent, live and let live, especially if it's religion, related to religion. You leave that alone. So that creates an enormous amount of protection for a lot of crime because it's done under the name of religion. And in many cases, it's essentially created a situation of legalized child abuse.
So what is the religion?
Tell me about the beliefs.
The religious beliefs is that the only way to God is if you are in obedience to, in perfect obedience to your priesthood head.
Which is?
For me, before I was married, that was my father. He was my priesthood head. He owned me. I was taught that I would never become of age at 18. I wasn't of age to make my own choices. I had the right to do what I was told, and that was a gift. Obedience is a gift. When I married Merrill, he was my priesthood head, and my only route to God was through him. For eternity. He owned me. He would decide in the next life whether I could be a member of his family or whether I had to go to hell, whether I was a wife or whether I would be a servant through all eternity. So if you displease your husband and he feels in himself enough grace in the next life, he may allow you to be a servant in his home through all eternity. But you would never become a goddess, you would never be able to have children, and you would never be on his right hand.
Goddess is not something you hear a lot about in American religions.
It's very much a part of the FLDS. It is believed that a man will be exalted to be a god, and those who are worthy will be exalted, and his wives will be exalted to be goddesses. And you will live through all eternity as a god and as goddesses.
This is the polytheistic part.
If you do not prove worthy, then you will be, for the rest of all eternity, a servant. If he does not want you in his family at all, then you basically would go into a lower dimension or hell. And he would leave you there until he chose to either allow you to come into his family as a servant, or he could allow you to go back and suffer the second death.
So we're not talking about the Old or New Testament here. We're not talking about any kind of a mainstream anything. This is kind of unto itself, isn't it?
Very much so.
Well, by your reporting, certainly by the time you left, they were into, you know, making ad hoc rules. I mean, it just, you know, make up a rule to suit whatever it is I want to do
today. Tell a story about red.
Yes, that was one of the areas where I became concerned before I left, is that there had been the old school thinking, and it had just carried on through most of my life. And every once in a while, you would see a tweak in the system. When Warren started taking power, when his father had a stroke, we saw a 180-degree turn in the system. And overnight, things that we had done our entire lives became taboo, like the color red. One day, we could never wear red again. Any red item or article in your home, you had to get rid of.
For why?
Because Warren explained it as that red was a color that was for Christ and Christ alone. And that it was mocking Christ to wear that color or to have that color in your home. So it is the Lord's color. But when he returns when he comes for the second time, he will come in a red robe. And that color is to be reserved for his second coming.
And what color was the car that Mr. Jeffs was arrested in?
Red.
So it was okay for him, but he could tell everybody else that they couldn't do it.
Yes, that was very common. But the thing that became very alarming to me was the day that he decided dogs would no longer be allowed among God's people. We had a child that was injured by a dog and did die from the injuries. Within a couple of days, Warren decided that we were not to have dogs in the community anymore. I think in reality it had nothing to do with the child's death. It was just that there had been the death, and it was a way for him to experiment socially with the community to just see how far he could go. Within one day, when he handed down that edict, every dog in that community was either dead or in the pound.
I want to go back to the hierarchy.
But the people themselves had done that.
They did not question. No, Warren sent men around to the homes. If you had a dog and you had not taken it, removed it from the community to a pound in a local community, they took the dog. They took them and shot them. They killed them all. There were a few families in the community who were not FLDS. They did keep their dogs. The men didn't go to their homes because they couldn't legally take their dogs. But if you were FLDS, you could not put any... Nobody put up any resistance, really.
Your husband is in absolute charge he owns the family, but who is the male head responsible to?
Merrill was responsible to the prophet. Whoever is the prophet of God, that's who it feeds up to.
How do you get to be prophet?
It's ordained by God.
So, could I be prophet?
No, because you're a woman.
Right.
And you weren't born into the...
And you weren't born... You were not born into...
You failed on all counts.
Whoa! Does... You talk about there being a barter system within the community. Do the men barter who gets to be prophet?
This is a core problem. Yeah. People that talk to God, and the rest of us can't hear them, it's an unstable system. It's an unreliable system, because I can claim to talk to God, you can claim to talk to God, anybody can claim to talk to God. The question is, how do you enforce your conversations, your nominal conversations with God? And in this context, and in many contexts, it essentially appears to come down to brute force, either physical or psychological. Is that a fair...
That's very fair. Warren basically inherited the status of prophet. His father was the last remaining apostle, so theoretically to be a prophet, you need to be ordained an apostle and be the next in line for the position. And there's 12 apostles. After Leroy died, Leroy stopped appointing apostles. After he died, there was one apostle left. It was Roland. So based on the religious views of the community, Roland was the only man that could theoretically be the prophet. And he didn't. He stepped into that position. He never claimed to be. He never said he wasn't. There was not much communication there. He just took the position. Around the time that he started having strokes, Warren started using a lot of mind control in the community. He sent out his tapes, and he got a lot of power that way. He basically inherited the position from his father. Theoretically, based on the FLDS traditions and value system, he cannot be a prophet because he was never ordained an apostle.
So you not only have a corrupt and corrupting system, he's breaking the rules so he can enforce his own rules.
Yes.
Let's take this one step, if you will, higher. If he weren't such a terrible guy, would polygamy now be okay?
From my experience, no. But then I had a horrible experience with polygamy. I don't agree with polygamy. I think it's unnatural to every basic human emotion. My only conflict is I've seen the damage that's done by driving it into secrecy. I think that polygamy needs to stop being ignored, and the crimes that are being committed in the name of religion, polygamy, need to be addressed. I think the crimes are what need to be looked at.
Carolyn Jessup is with us and will be with us when we return in a moment when Bill Russell's will have a chance to...
I feel like that polygamy is a crime against a woman. But, you know, when an adult is consenting to that crime being committed against her, how do you protect her?
We'll find out when we return. Be with us.